I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
Think unlike anyone else.
DeVry blends business with technology.
So where do you go now?
I went to school to get my career back on track.
Scholarships, grants, and options to fund your education. Get started today.
Evolve at IADT.
Sounds pretty good, huh? For-profit colleges like DeVry, ITT Tech, and Corinthian Colleges appealed to thousands of prospective students with promises like these. Promises of great jobs and bright futures. Except those promises were false, leaving many students deep in debt and without the education they paid for. Yvette Cologne is one of them.
I was doing a career change. This happened, you know, when I was in my 40s. And, you know, you want to do something different. And, of course, I was already in an area that interests me a lot. I was in radiology. Of course, looking for a higher salary, looking for a career, I still needed to go to work. So Sanford Brown was one of the schools that I ran into. And they were able to give me Monday through Thursday, you know, from 6 to 9. And that's how I said this is the school for me.
We begin today with abuse by for-profit colleges and the status of complaints against these schools under the Trump administration. In 2008, Yvette Cologne applied to the Non-Invasive Cardiovascular Technology Certificate Program at Sanford Brown Institute.
When I was being interviewed and taken around, I did ask them, are you accredited? And they told me yes. After the tour, they even took me to a hallway and showed me a plaque that said accreditation. Of course, you're excited. You're, you know that you're going to go for this. You see the words accreditation, you think this is an honest, you know, plaque. And everything turned out to be just false from that point on.
Rumors started spreading among her classmates that the school wasn't accredited. And when Yvette went to her internship at New York University, she got a rude awakening.
In NYU, my supervisor told me that my skills were very poor, and that really hurted me. But, you know, he said, I don't know what SBI is showing you, but if you're only going for 3 hours for 4 days a week, that's not enough hours for you to attain this skill. We have a 2-year course. They come here 8 hours a day. And he says, so you're only halfway there.
The whole situation left Yvette feeling helpless.
My school defrauded me in so many different ways. My skill was not there. And though they said, oh, no, you're doing very well, you know. And then at the end, you find out that they're not accredited. I couldn't even take these credits to another school. I went about a year later to BMCC and say, well, you know what? I got these credits because they told me again that they were transferable. Let me just go and get a career and see what I can do with this.
And BMCC, so our listeners know, is a borough of Manhattan Community College here in New York City.
Correct. And I sat there with the advisor, and I'll never forget it. She looked at it, and she said, I'm so sorry. And I said, what's wrong? And she goes, I can't use any of this. This is not an accredited school. You will have to start all over again.
Now, what had you spent at that point? How much are we talking about when you find out that you're basically what you have is unusable?
Already, I was in debt for like $32,000, $34,000.
And that includes private loans?
Yes.
And interest rates that are hovering
around?
Oh,
now they're in the 50s.
50?
I'm sure of it. I can guarantee you because I have put in on deferments because a lot, and during that segment of my life, a lot of things happen.
Let's talk about that. So you find out that this is not essentially usable, and it still is a very emotional experience, I can see now, understandably so. You decide to take action.
What happened was I started to get on the internet, and I started to ask out there anything about SBI, and then I find out that there was a lot, in the Better Business Bureau, there was a lot of complaints along the Eastern Coast. And I was like amazed. And then we were chatting amongst each other and people lost houses. It was just horrible stories. But then I get a call from the Attorney General's office one day regarding Sanford Brown. And that I guess everything that I had put, all these complaints out there and made myself vocal, they picked me up and they said, well, we're going with this. Do you want to be part of it? And I said, absolutely. And in 2014, in October, I did get a restitution. It was a little over $3,000. Later on after that, they closed Safford Brown. Then about a couple of years later, I would say about 2 years later, you know, more or less, I get a call from New York Lag, and they tell me, we want to talk to you. And ever since then, it's been history.
They the New have York found, Lag is, just so people know, what's New York Lag?
New York Legal Assistance Group.
Got it.
They reached out to me. I sat down with them, and they found so many misrepresentations.
And the federal government actually announced this week that they are sort of shutting down, or not shutting down completely, but making that group that was investigating these types of for-profit college scams smaller. Betsy DeVos has, you know, basically said, we're going to cut this group down significantly. What is your reaction to that?
Oh, my goodness.
And by the way, we've reached out to the Department of Education for their response, and we have not gotten a response.
I don't think you're going to, because Betsy DeVos is leading this and putting in her own people in that group. I think there's like about three or four of the original group that was trying to help us and bring justice are still there. And I say to them, fight the fight. Don't give up, because I won't. But to Betsy DeVos, I can't understand you, a woman of stature that has all this money in the world and all this power. You're using it against the American student.
Eva, where do you go from here?
Well, my credit is shot. I really can't do much. I just want what's right. I want my loans forgiven because of this misrepresentation. And I want something that's going to help me get back on track. Put my credit back to where it was. And let me live at least a decent retirement life. Because if I lose, I'm going to lose big. And I'm going to have to pay this even in my retirement years when I shouldn't. And that's a failure on Betsy's part.
Powerful testimony. Thank you for sharing that with us. And we'll see if the DOE actually gives us a response. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you for listening for my story.
As we just mentioned, within the Department of Education, there's a team whose only job is to investigate abuse by institutions of higher education. But Education Secretary Betsy DeVos is effectively dismantling that investigative team. Danielle Douglas-Gabriel is a higher education reporter for The Washington Post. Great to have you back on the program, Danielle.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's go back to the start. Remind us what this special team was originally set up to do and what these colleges were found to have been doing that needed investigating.
So this team was created back in 2016 to weed out fraud, abuse, and waste within higher education. Now, their explicit mission wasn't supposed to be to go after for-profit colleges, but at the time, there were a number of schools that were under investigation in the midst of lawsuits, as well as under threat of having all of their federal student aid pulled back, namely Corinthian Colleges, which was a huge for-profit college that operated schools across the country. And by that time, the school had filed for bankruptcy after the Department of Education decided to take away its access to federal student loans and grants because it was found lying about its graduation rates as well as job placement rates. Now, this is a chain of schools that had been sued by series of state and federal attorneys. This is a school that had been accused of steering students into predatory loans with interest rates as high as 15%. I mean, this was kind of the worst of the worst. It wasn't necessarily a reflection of the entire for-profit industry, but it was indicative of problems that were persisting in certain segments of the industry. And so this unit was created to ensure that they could go after this sort of behavior. And so the decision was to create a team of about 50 people, some of whom were already working at the Department of Education and a few new hires. They never fully staffed up, but it went from 50 down to 3 right now.
And what happened when Secretary DeVos took over?
So for this enforcement unit, it was a somewhat gradual change of just being told from at least from the attorneys that previously worked there that I've spoken to, told that they're not really focusing so much on investigations at the moment. It was everyone kind of sitting around waiting to figure out what was happening and getting mixed messages from the Trump administration as to whether they should pursue some of the investigations that were already underway. Now, what became questionable is that several months after DeVos took office, she hired Julian Smoak, who was a former dean at DeVry, to lead that enforcement unit. So very many people saw that as a very odd and peculiar move on her part, and read that as a way of saying that she's no longer going to pay attention to kind of bad behavior within the for-profit space. I think one other thing that's important to point out about at the Department of Education is there are other offices that are responsible for investigating compliance problems and such, but their plate tends to be pretty full with lots of things. And so this unit was supposed to be different and special because it was going to be targeted at doing the investigative work that the other folks in compliance don't always necessarily get the time and space to do.
And of course, there are obviously students, people who have been trying to get debt relief and other types of restitution for being defrauded by these universities. What happens now? Can they look forward to some sort of closure, or is that not going to happen?
That's been a really complicated process. So the process is still going on. It's called Borrow Defense to Repayment. And one of the groups that was within this kind of enforcement umbrella handled Borrow Defense to Repayment claims. And apparently the what's left of the unit has been shifted over to that work. For a while, it was very slow going for at least the first 7 or 8 months, I believe. The Trump administration didn't touch a single one of those claims. And after a series of lawsuits from various state attorneys and various consumer groups, the process got back underway. The trouble is that at least in a few folks' eyes, is that the department now wants to grant partial relief, not the full relief that many people had thought that they would be eligible for. And now that has sparked another series of lawsuits as to whether they're following the letter of the law. So it's a long and arduous process, and lots of people have been waiting for responses for years now. And to be clear, the Obama administration wasn't exactly the best at making sure these claims were processed in a timely fashion. But also, to be fair, they were not used to the volume of claims coming towards the department, and that was a direct result of Corinthian College's failure and people wanting their money back after.
Danielle Douglas Gabriel covers student debt and the economics of higher education for The Washington Post. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.